we don't like to hear that's not my job. That's one of the things where we try to get very disciplined and have clear job roles, but we don't want to hear that because it's property management. At any moment, you could be short-staffed and the property manager has to go out and help with a maintenance call.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, where you get multifamily investing made real. Learn from top players in the real estate investment world as they share their secrets with you and discover proven strategies on apartment investing that actually work. To learn more about Wheelbarrow Profits, visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. Now to your hosts, Jake and Gino.
Hello, everybody. It's Jake Senzi. I'm host of Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, the number one multifamily podcast on iTunes, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano. We're doing good, right? We've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm trying to remember all the stuff. Wait, Saturday boot camp in Atlanta with the students, right? Buy Right boot camp. Mr. Bilham, the master coach, will be teaching that. That's awesome. I'm actually having my son flying with me because I think it's one of those seminal moments where he's only 16 years old. Let's get him going right into this business. And I you know, totally trust Bill teaching him Buy Right. Great from that perspective. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'll be up in Tennessee with you guys, with y'all. We're going to be in the office. We're going to be with our coaches. We're actually starting to scale up our business. We've got deals we're taking down right now. We're bringing in students. It's a little overwhelming, right, Stenziano?
But no. We're practicing what we preach. So obviously we have an education, we have a coaching community, but we also, you know, are coached ourselves, and we have scaling up coaches coming in and coaching and leading us on how to grow our business. So practicing what we preach, G-Dad, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Very, very special guest today. Okay. We have Mrs. Jennifer Outland. Jennifer is a key leader at Rand Property Management. She's a multifamily investor, customer service expert, keynote speaker, and as Gino likes to say, a guru. So without further ado, Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
All right. So tell us a story about how you first got started in this crazy apartment world.
So sometimes life just happens. I was in between professional careers. I had my master's in marriage and family counseling, wasn't really able to find a good fit with that. And I was working as a server at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's what I'd done while I was in college, and just overall a wonderful place to work. And one night I had a group of fellas come in, four of them come in, and it was Jake and Gino and Mike Gelchi and one of the bankers that was closing on a deal in Jefferson City that was doubling the portfolio of the property, of the company. And so I waited on them, and I messed up their steak and kind of rebounded from that. I mean, at the end of the day, they ordered the wrong steak, so I accidentally brought out a better cut. So it worked out anyways. And before the end of the meal, Jake came up to me and said, "Hey, I have a position I'd be interested in interviewing you for." And I'm like, "Okay."
Creeper.
Gave my email, didn't hear anything for a couple weeks. Finally got an email asking me to be a property manager. Had to Google what a property manager was. I had no clue. Not, like, it wasn't even on the realm of something that people did. So came in, interviewed, was open to new opportunities, very excited to do something different. The path that I thought I had wasn't working out, so another opportunity presented itself, and so happy that it did.
So there's a whole lot more, Gino, there at the table that we were talking about, because no one wanted to go ask Jennifer to interview because we all thought we were going to be like the creepy guys at the restaurant. We were all like, she has such enthusiasm, and it was such a great customer experience. So, you know, there's a whole lot of banter going on at the table of who was actually going to do it. Finally, Mike said he was going to do it, and then he backed out. So I guess I drew the straw and was the guy that had to go up and do it. But anyways, that's a little insight there.
So what makes a customer, what makes a property manager good from being a server at Ruth's Chris? What qualities did you have that you think you had to become a really good property manager?
So for me, it's definitely customer service. I mean, we are in a hospitality industry that sells apartments. That's what we do. You know, we got to take care of the people, and our way of taking care of people is leasing them really fantastic apartments. And that's, you know, the same thing in the restaurant business. You know, you're taking care of people, you're providing a good experience for them. One of the other things too is if you spend any time in the restaurant industry whatsoever, you have a sense of urgency. That is something that I think you either learn it or you don't. If you can't survive having a sense of urgency in the restaurant business, then you're not going to survive. Now, the same thing for property management. If you're one who kind of likes to lollygag and do things at a slow pace, you're not going to be productive in property management too.
What qualities does Rand look for in a property manager when they hire one?
Customer service, number one. You know, if you can't do that, if you can't have good customer service while you have someone on the phone upset about their AC unit, their leaky toilet, their ledger, whatever's going on with their accounting, then you're not going to be able to make it. Thinking quick on your feet when, you know, I messed up that steak and I was like, well, actually, this was from the steak Dodge. You actually needed this bone-in ribeye. It's so much better than the silly filet that you got. You know, you kind of got to think on your feet like that. Also,
G-Dad was watching his weight, all right? Come on.
Not at Ruth's Chris. You don't go to Ruth's Chris. All diets are off at that point. Yeah. So those are the really important things that really we pull from. We're pulling from the restaurant industry and we're pulling people into property management.
What do you think at Rand we focus on in the customer experience? What have we gotten better at the customer experience? And conversely, what do we need to get better at?
So we need to get better on our follow-up. That's something that's just been heavy on my heart and my mind this past week, that so many situations could be handled so much better with just a better follow-up. Just to kind of go off on a little sidebar here, one of the managers at Ruth's Chris is one of our property managers. She is excellent at following up with residents, making something that, you know, preventing something that's a small issue from becoming a big issue just because she's doing her due diligence and following through with the experience until it's done. You don't take the work order and then never call the resident back again. You got to take the work order, make sure it's completed, do the follow-up, make sure they're satisfied with the work. So that's the thing that we need to improve on. What we've gotten a lot better at is treating our residents and our potential residents like they're guests when they come in our office. Just like a guest coming into your home. Do you want a root beer? Do you want a coffee? Do you want, you know, have a seat in our most comfy chair? What can I do to make your day better today? And really getting to know and having that personal attachment to people, because it's all about the personal connection. That's what the customer experience is about. And we're able to provide that because we genuinely care. So we've specifically hired people who have that, who really care about people.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What can we do better as far as the follow-up? How can property managers and property management companies out there do with their training to get their managers to do that follow-up?
First thing is staffing. You have to have the appropriate amount of people in the office. If you don't have enough people to do the follow-ups aren't going to be done. It doesn't matter how much you preach it, it's not going to be able to be pulled through. So make sure that your staffing levels are correct. Once you have that, then it's having very clear expectations. After you do a work order, you pass it off here. After the maintenance team brings a work order back, we're following up to make sure that it was done to their satisfaction. So you put these systems in place and then you check up on your staff and you make sure that they're doing it. We have our Appfolio, which is our property management software. We can see if they went in and they sent a survey, if they did a call, if they completed the work order in a timely manner. So we have systems and metrics that will tell us how our employees are doing with that. And then the final piece, we also have our company-wide, or we have our RAM property management website. And residents can go on and email through that. Now, it's maybe not the most popular form of contact that they have with us, because they'll normally email the property manager specifically. But if they're having a problem and they're not getting the customer service that they want from the office, they can email our website, and I get that. And I'm able to go, whoa, 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 how did this issue, this small issue, become a big issue because we didn't follow through? Then we can walk that back and it can be a training point.
Jennifer, in your opinion, what is the proper staffing levels for an average company when somebody buys a 100-unit property or 200-unit property? What are those staffing levels look like?
So for maintenance, a general rule of thumb is one tech for 100 apartments. On new acquisitions, we like to be a little heavier staffed because we want to, you know, be extra great at customer service, have plenty of people that's there to take care of them. That's a general rule. If you have a property that's newer and easily managed, you'll need less staff, obviously. That's for office and maintenance. Now, there's also, I would say with the office, still 100 or one employee per 100 residents, but that's a little bit more fluid, I would say, because that, it depends on your demographic. It depends on if you're on-site or off-site. If you have a lot of foot traffic coming through the office, you may need more staff. You know, sometimes you can get by with one office staffer for 150 units where you couldn't get by with one maintenance person. And really at the end of the day, having an open line of communication with your staff, are they feeling overwhelmed? Are they getting burnt out? And is that because of skill or training, or they're just not a good fit? Or is it because they're a good fit, they're trained well, but the work is still overwhelming? Then get them the help that they need.
I really believe that, I know that's been the industry standard for a while, the one maintenance tech per 100 units, but I really feel like it's more like 75. If you're going to offer a high level of service, I really think it's closer to 75 to really nail it personally. But.
Well, let's see how the artificial intelligence works, the AI we're using with AppFolio. We're hoping at least it can supplement and help the office and maybe not cut down staff, but make yourself much more efficient to be able to do those follow-ups and to be able to get tenants on the calendar. That's what you want. You want eyeballs and coming to your property. So hopefully we'll have an update in the next couple of months to see how we launch that.
I think the key with that too is not necessarily that you're going to be essentially cutting down staff, because the feedback from AppFolio was actually our your managers feel a little bit more pressed because they're forcing the bookings. So it's getting on and it's putting them to work more. So I think it's actually making you, it may be making you more efficient. I don't know that it's relieving any staffing from you, but you may be, you know, feeling, oh, I like that coffee mug there, by the way, for the YouTubers out there.
Isn't that lovely?
But hopefully you're selling more leases, right?
So Jennifer, we have a lot of times students ask me, what are the challenges when we do take over a property? We've taken over several properties over the last 6 months. What challenges are there? Because like you said, you need to overstaff. So what do you see when we take over properties?
On the office side, it can be from getting the office staff in early enough and getting them trained on your ways and your system, so on day one, they're ready to go. So that means you got to start your hiring early, because hiring takes a very, very long time. And if you're doing it right, it is going to take some time. So you've got to start 60 days out trying to get that staff in. And that might even be a really tight window. So getting them in, that's a challenge. Then a lot of the times, if you're taking over a property that hasn't been managed well, which, you know, can kind of be our business model at times, you may get the only paperwork you get on a resident is a sheet of printer paper saying John Smith, $600 a month, $300 damage deposit. And that's the only information you have. So depending on how their office was ran and the information that's available to you, that can either become an issue or not an issue. And I've seen our takeovers be drastically different with those different scenarios. And then there's just always getting to know the property. You know, what are going to be kind of the common maintenance issues that you have? What are going to be the common complaints that you have from the residents, and how you can best serve that? Because it's trial and error a lot of times when you're preventing solutions. You make a very commonsensical fix to something, and okay, well, no, that didn't work. So you have to go and try again and try again. Finally, you figure it out, but you know, there's a lot of trial and error. So having a very knowledgeable staff that can think through the process, okay, we're going to apply this fix to it. But hey, this might not work because this, they can look down the line and see what's going on.
So when you're hiring that staff, what does Rand specifically look for in an employee, and what do they not look for in an employee? What is a red flag saying, we can't have this person working for us?
Yeah.
The Eeyore.
Oh my goodness. The Eeyore. If you come and you're like, oh, it's okay, I lost my tail. Like I can't, because that's going to come, that will bleed into our staff, into our residents. You don't have to be as bubbly as me. I say that all the time. You do not have to be in your face like, sunshine and rainbows, but you do need to smile and be pleasant and care, and people can tell if you care or not. So that has to be number one. And you can pretty much gauge that when you meet someone, but absolutely you can get that from a reference call. So reference calls are key. So we're looking for that upbeat. We're also looking, one of the things I've become very aware of is that when people get into the interview and they start complaining about former bosses, complaining about relationships that they've had, this happens all the time, complaining about former employees. You know, if you see one or two or three, like my last boss was disorganized, the boss before that was rude all the time, the last boss besides that, you're just going to be the next bad boss in a list of bad bosses for that person. So starting to see themes with how they deal with people, because if they're going to be hard to work with, if they're going to have personnel issues all the time, be making people angry all the time, be rigid and not open to new change, that's not a trait that you can train. That's either there or not, and it's going to make your work so much harder. Those are the things we look for.
Also, you know, for me, it's always come down to attitude, ethics. You know, Jennifer touched on the attitude piece, making sure, and it's hard to screen for ethics, but, you know, we do our best. We do the background checks. And also, we like to see a blue-collar work ethic. It really goes, you know, right in with our company values. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you are when you come on the team, but the job that's put in front of you, you just need to be able to handle it. So we don't like to hear that's not my job. That's one of the things where we try to get very disciplined and have clear job roles, but we don't want to hear that because it's property management. At any moment, you could be short-staffed and the property manager has to go out and help with a maintenance call, something to that effect. So one thing that we really preach is our blue-collar work ethic. It doesn't matter what role you have in the company, but making sure that that fits your values or it's not going to be a good fit for us. And I think going back, the times where we've seen the bad hires or the people that we haven't felt good about is when those core values did not align. And that's why we hit the core values hard on the interview process now, because if you can find that that's not going to be a good fit, then you can just walk away at that point. No harm, no foul. And it really makes life a lot easier down the road. So
I like that. Jennifer, what are some of the biggest tenant complaints that you get on properties?
Water leaks. When a water leak happens, it's not a small go in there and fix it. Typically, there might be drywall work involved, and that can take a work order from being fixed in a day to 4 days sometimes. So that's a big complaint that we get. When we end up being short-staffed, one of the first things that happens is the grounds will start to look messy. And that's because we're just trying to do work orders and turns. And it's kind of the nature of the beast. But I love that our residents care that our grounds don't look good, because I care when our grounds don't look good. But that is definitely a complaint that we'll get. Let's see.
Maybe to your point, though, it all goes back to staffing a lot of times, right, Jennifer?
I will tell you 90% of the problems that we encounter is because we don't have enough staff, or the staff that we have isn't trained enough. I mean, that's just what it goes back to. And one of the things I've tried to preach, okay, just because we're fully staffed doesn't mean we're fully trained. Those are two totally different things. It can take up to 3 months for someone to even begin to feel confident and competent in their job, because a property manager and a maintenance tech, that it's not just one thing you're doing all day. It's not an assembly line. You are doing multiple jobs. You're not being trained just to be a leasing agent. You're being trained to be a leasing agent, customer service, partial maintenance tech, because the office people needs to learn a general knowledge of maintenance so that they can just be in the industry, because we take care of properties. There's so many different things that that a person does. So yeah, it always goes back to staffing. If your staffing levels aren't there, then you're going to get complaints. Length of time it takes to get to a work order and get that completed, that's a complaint that we'll get. Staffing levels. And then one of the worst complaints that hurts my heart more than anything is I moved into this apartment and it wasn't up to my standards. Either a vendor messed up the scheduling and we got too pressed, or one of our maintenance staff did something wrong and they didn't do it up to our standards. And that's a first impression that you really have a hard time pulling that back through and creating a good experience with that. So that's my least favorite complaint.
And what are some of the amenities that tenants like on properties?
Pools are always a huge amenity. Laundry facilities. Of course, people would prefer to have them in their units. But as we all know, back in the 70s and 80s, and even today, there's not a washer dryer hookup in every apartment. So having that facility on site is huge. Knoxville's a huge dog area anymore. And I think kind of our culture is shifting to that. as our millennials, we're not having babies early, so we're having puppies. And so dog parks are really, really important and really popular. Things that we've thought about doing that we know that would be really awesome to have that we don't yet is a dog wash station, things of that nature. So those are some of our most popular. Fitness center, of course. Fitness centers are always great too.
What would you tell property management companies out there, key performance indicators or KPIs that they should be looking at on a weekly or monthly basis that are really important?
Yeah. So you always want to look at your vacancy outlook. So that is your current and vacant apartments. That is your pending vacant apartments, ones that are leased and not leased, the length of time. For us, that's a unit vacancy detail, and that gives everything. So that can show your exposure on, okay, we have 17 people set to move out in July and we don't have any of them leased yet. You know, at that point, you really need to hit marketing. That's a huge KPI. Budgets, of course. You know, we're a business. You know, being a profitable business is what is key to be able to grow and scale. So looking at your budget, making sure you're hitting your numbers, you're not spending too much money on ceiling fans, what have you. See, what are some of our other KPIs that we look at? Jake, help me out here. What are some of our
I think the big ones, it always comes down to, you know, because we do move-in fees, it's the vacant units that are unrented. That's what we're looking at very closely, because since we do move-in fees, we get money on that from the jump. So we look at the vacant and unrented. We're always really pounding the delinquency and you know, going back to those occupancy reports. And then throughout the month, we're looking at, obviously, reviewing the budgets, making sure that the budgets are in line, and then always looking at the income, making sure that it's lining up to where we want to be. And then we actually look at it from a cash and accrual basis as well. Always looking to make sure that that things are in order. Right, G-Dad?
I like that, Benziano. One thing that we worked together, Jennifer and I, is we worked on that turn document. How long it takes to actually turn a unit? Can you just go over the real process real quick for the listeners, because it's important, because we're selling time. Like an airplane, you get an airplane, that seat's empty or that apartment's empty for 2 weeks, you will never be able to recoup that money. So just go over the quick turn process that we implement on our properties.
Yeah. In a perfect turn, you should be able to get it done in 5 days. So you go in the first day and it's first day of maintenance, the first day that it's vacant. And then the second day is going to be painting. Then the third day is going to be the flooring company to get in there if they need to replace floors. If you don't need to replace floors, day three is going to be maintenance day three. And that's changing out your switches, your outlets, your light fixtures, doorknobs, things of that. And of course, making any repairs that need to happen. If you did replace a floor, then day four is going to be your maintenance. So those can change out. And the last day you're going to be doing housekeeping and carpet cleaning. You want the last people in there to be the cleaning staff. And you want the carpet cleaners to be the very last people to go in. And keep in mind, you need a window before the move in so the carpets can completely dry otherwise.
Speaking of which, Jennifer Ulrich, who just joined the team, moved into a competing property and complained that when she moved in, the windows were shut. And it was just, oh, she said it was terrible when she got into the unit. So that's very important. It's funny that you brought that up.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I like that. Before we go to the short answer questions, give us a horror story of a property we took over and something you saw in there. I was like, wow, I can't believe this is going on here. I know you've got hundreds of them, so...
We do. It's trying to find the best.
We've taken over some challenging ones, right?
We have. So we took over a property last fall in North Knoxville, and we had someone living there that there was a substantial amount of mold in that apartment. And he had tried to get the former property management company for months to come in and change it. This gentleman had a disability. He had an illness when he was younger, and it had affected his brain function. Looking back, I really think that the former property management kind of took advantage of that, because when he came to put in complaints, from what he said, they would say, if you don't like it, just go ahead and move out. So we got in there, and there was a substantial amount of mold. There was a leak. It wasn't even a bad leak. We fixed the leak very quickly, but it had gone on for so long. With kind of his circumstance, he was very anxious and very nervous. So, We got in there and we figured out it was a health threat. We moved him into a hotel. He didn't have transportation to get to the hotel, so we provided transportation. He didn't have food that wasn't in his kitchen, so we provided him with a gift card to get some food. And we went in there and we gutted the whole thing, and we did a lot of work in there. Along the way, the local news station got a hold of it, and it was right when we took over, and there was kind of a back and forth for a little bit of finger pointing and who was to blame. And the news reporter ended up being really reasonable and awesome, and came along and said, "Hey, I like what you're doing. I love that you're taking care of this guy." And the story aired on the local news. And thankfully we ended up being portrayed as the good guys, because I think that we were. We went in there, we changed this guy's life. We changed his health, his living environment so much better. And it was a very sweet, heartwarming moment. But I mean, just so many times when we take over, there's just work orders that people have been ignored. That particular property had shut off their emergency phone 2 weeks before we took over. Like, no one was getting any work orders put in. No one was getting anything done. So that just means we got to work even harder to get it up to our standard.
How long did it take to turn that apartment and get that gentleman back in the apartment?
Took about a week and a half, about 10 days. So it wasn't crazy considering the work that we needed to do. And we really, like, our best team, we just whoop, get in there, cut everything out, redo the flooring. His mattress had been sitting on the floor, his mattress and box spring, so it had molded. So we went and bought him a new box spring and mattress. But yeah, about a week and a half.
There was even foundation work. I remember we dug out the outside of it, sealed the foundation. So it was very intense, and you know, the CapEx crew knocked it out quick.
Yeah, it did.
You know, this is interesting because, I mean, you know, a lot of folks listening to the show are like, "Hey, I want to be in it. I want to be an investor. I want to go and make money in multifamily." And Gino is really touching on some, you know, some of the realness, some of the stuff that really goes on, especially in the C and B apartment space. And the reason we're focusing on this stuff and maybe getting a little grittier than normal is because it really does come down to customer service in the C and B apartment space. If you want to separate yourself, we consider it our blue ocean. This is our blue ocean strategy, to be the best customer service company, property management company in the world. I mean, that's really what we're setting out to do. And it comes down to customer service training, and it comes down to being fully staffed, because so many times people look at this from the private equity space as, "Hey, I'm going to be an investor. I'm going to go in, I'm going to maximize returns on this, and then off to the next one." You're not really, you know, providing true value at that point to the world. So what we're doing is we're coming into these places, we're providing premium customer service, and we're doing the right thing. And it's hard work. And that's why we focus on so much of this today, because it comes down to the customer service. It comes down to the proper investment into your people and your culture to pull that through. And I think it's short-sighted by many of the companies, especially the ones that we've bought from, because they don't do that. They don't take that extra level of care. And that's the separator for us. And that's why I think that once we're able to fully nail our customer service, our training program, our secret shoppers, we're going to have that blue ocean where we're separating ourselves. We're dominating, we're not competing, and we're doing the right thing. That's the intersection that we're looking for right there. So, G-Dad, what you got?
So part of the problem is that we're in such an elevated part of the market cycle, right? You can't have slippage right now because you're buying at such elevated pricing that you have to keep tenants in your place rented. When we do have that correction, we're hoping that our customer service is strong enough where we won't lose those tenants, and we won't have to drop our rents and give concessions like a lot of other mom and pops out there are going to have to do. Because right now it's a lot easier to rent an apartment when you have 3% unemployment and, you know, rents are going up. It's pretty easy to keep it full up. But as this stuff starts to take place and we start going to recession, I think you're going to want to work on customer service. And for everybody out there who wants to syndicate and raise money for deals, the first thing you should be looking at is, after you have your market, look for the property management company who's managing the property. Make sure they've got experience. Call a couple of properties that they are managing. Look at what their systems are. And I think the other thing is, once you do take over a property, even if you are not managing it yourself, you need to be on weekly calls with your property management company. Every Monday, get on. Go back and listen to what Jennifer's KPIs are. You need to go and look through those KPIs every week, because it's not one of those things that's completely passive. Because if you're not doing it, it's going to falter. Someone has to be doing it on the property, has to have a weekly call. That's what I would recommend, because we have weekly calls with our property management. Even though Jake is doing it day to day, I'm on the call with the property management company weekly. I want to know the updates. I want to know what's going on. I want to hear what our tenants are complaining about. I want to hear what we're doing right. I want to continue with that customer experience. There's so many things you need to do because you're building a business here. And especially especially when you first take over, there's a lot for you to learn. And as you're learning, you're implementing it so that one day you may be able to step back and say, I've got enough systems. I've got enough great people that we've hired. We're still working in the hiring process. We've been doing this 6 years, and we're still, that's one of our, I don't want to say linchpin, but it's still one of those very difficult things where you want to have a system in place for that, where you can just hire somebody. I like that person. Let's hire him, or I don't. So I think just being open with the property management company and getting on calls weekly and holding them accountable, I think is one of the most important things you can do.
Yeah, it's great to go out and say, I'm a multifamily investor, I'm taking down all these units. But once you get the property, that's when the real work begins. So don't forget that. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor. Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created: buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply. All right. And we are back. Now I want to get into the psychology a little bit. You have a psychology background. How did that impact your property management career?
I could not think of a better to have come from. Again, it's people. I mean, it's employees, as well as the management. I do HR for the company as well. And it comes back to people and what is motivating this person to be awesome. What is motivating this person to have slippage or to not perform? How can I reach this person and connect with them and communicate with them on a level where we can affect real change? I've had employees that have come in the office and they are just, oh man, they are in a bad mood. They have had a bad day. And sometimes there are people that are just always that way, the Eeyores. But sometimes just sitting down with them and saying, hey, listen, I'm just going to be real with you right now. You do not seem happy. You come in here with a scowl on your face and you're slamming doors and you're short with people. What can I do to help you have a good time at work? What can I do to make this good? And just being really open and honest and being able to listen, like really listen when people are talking. Because most of the times when people tell you something, they're not telling you the whole truth. They'll put a little nugget in there, and you got to be able to pull that nugget of information out and say, oh, wait, you mentioned your mom and you're having to go see her a lot. What's going on with your mom? Oh, well, she's in a nursing home and da-da-da-da. Okay, like, what would you like some help with that? And so just the psychology side is really important because it brings out that human aspect to it. And again, our biggest resource is our employees and our residents. So if we can nail that, we can take over the world.
We have many folks that will say everything is fine. Meanwhile, we know there may be some underlying things going on there. So sometimes you really got to dig deep and pull it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have a property manager that it's our little inside joke now. When I'll call her and I can just tell she's not having a good day, I'm like, are you fine? Are you fine? She's like, I'm fine. I'm really fine. And I know that she's not fine, but at least like we're having that connection that like, I know you may not want to go into it, but I know that you're having a bad day and we'll come around to it.
The only, those things are only developed through time and just doing it.
Yeah.
What is your best habit for success?
Doing the thing I hate to do first thing in the day. When I was a property manager, it was making that call to that resident that was angry with me yesterday and just tackling that first thing. So if you put those things off your whole day, there's like a dark cloud over it. So definitely doing the thing you don't want to do first. The next thing is when you have a problem, don't shy away from it. Don't put it off. And this is kind of the same thing, but like if you hear a resident talking about something and you can tell they're unhappy, dive into it. Don't be afraid to really go into it with them and say, hey, you mentioned that. I can tell you're upset. Do you want to talk about it? And giving people the space to really connect and share. So just, I guess, not shying away from the things that are hard. Dive into the things that are hard and they won't be as hard.
What are the consequences of not diving into them?
They just become worse. They become snowballs. And not even, you know, sometimes, yes, the issue will get harder, but even if it doesn't get harder, it gets harder inside of your head. It becomes like psychological warfare that, oh my gosh, I really need to have this performance improvement plan with this employee and I need to sit down. And I need to do it. Just do it. Because if you do it a week later, you have stress and had anxiety and nightmares and you're meditating and trying to get zen. And what you need to do is just have that hard conversation. Just do what you need to do. Treat people with respect at all times, but don't be afraid to have the real conversations.
All right. A lot of folks out there may be getting their first 20 unit, their first 100 units. What is a tip for scaling up in the multifamily game? Ooh, we stumped her, G-Dad.
Let's see. So when you're at 20, 30 units, that's hard because you're really trying to try to figure out full-time and part-time staff. So I would say the biggest thing in scaling up is go ahead and get that professional maintenance person that's been doing it for a little while that has a lot of knowledge, and just pay them a little extra, get them full-time, and then when you scale, you already have someone on board that it knows your systems, that's loyal to you. Because one of the biggest challenges when you take over a new property is when you have employee turnover, especially with maintenance. And so if you already build up that maintenance staff, I would say that's one of the biggest things to help scale is going ahead and getting the people in. The next thing is anytime you incorporate any system, any policy, any procedure, don't set that for where you currently act. Set it for twice as big as you currently are. If you're getting a software program for your 30 units, don't get it for a 30 unit. Get it so it's for a 60 unit, 100 unit, 150 units, because changing over softwares or programs or policies, that's a lot of time, that's a lot of energy, implementation. So implement to grow, always.
Well, you've been through this before?
Only a handful of times. We're figuring it out, though. We are now implementing a whole new ADP platform. And it's not for where we are now. It's going to obviously meet our needs. I'm so excited about it. But this is something that's going to grow with us. So we're not going to be doing this again in a year when we're at 70 employees. We're going to be good.
So let me hit a little tip on that ADP. We came across that because I was in a restaurant. My son had gotten a job. So for all you entrepreneurs out there, just because you're in property management, I would go into different businesses and look and see what they're doing. My son was getting onboarded at this restaurant down here, and they must have 4 or 5 interviews a day. They've got over 100 people working at this place. So I saw how easy and how seamless it was to onboard employees. And I said to Jake, this is great. We're going to be scaling up with the education, with the mortgage company, with the syndication, with the property management. We need a system to implement out there. So a tip for everybody out there listening, when you're out, just keep your eyes open and see what other businesses are doing, even their customer experience. When you walk into a restaurant, there better be somebody there greeting you. They better sit you down and be polite. So that's how we are in our office. You better be getting up off that chair and saying hello to somebody. You better be picking up that phone, being cheerful. So go into other businesses and see what they're doing. And I'm sure you'll be able to implement and pull things out from what they're doing.
Yeah. And we're on our third property management software right now. That's why I was joking with Jennifer. But if we would have, you know, been a little more aware, a little
less
smarter, less cheap, there we go. We probably would have saved time, and we would have grown even quicker, and that's why we're even going back to, you know, this is the tightest job market in 50-60 years, and it's we're just realizing now the cost of turnover, and we put so much value on our employees, because if someone turns over, that it creates this trickle down tyranny where then your residents are being taken care of. Our core purpose here is to try to make sure we have great customer service, but it doesn't happen when employees are turning over. And that's why we're saying we're putting such an emphasis and focus on our culture and our employees, because we realize that everything else works much better when we're nailing these things. And that's why we're really hitting it hard today. What was your biggest mistake when starting out?
I don't know if you're going to remember this.
And you almost crashed the company. What happened here?
I'm surprised you didn't fire me. So new to
this is a cliffhanger. This is a cliffhanger here. I don't even know what's coming.
New to property management. We were struggling to get that second maintenance tech that we needed. I had a maintenance supervisor. We finally got a new tech in. He was a little, I don't know. There were pieces of him that just kind of, made me worry about his ethical behaviors, I should say. anyways, turns out he had a wife, a new baby, and they were sleeping in their car. And I just, that just pulled at my heartstrings. I'm like, hey, you know, we have a vacant unit over there. How about you go sleep in that unit? I did not talk to Jake about this at all.
Oh, man. You gotta write her up after this.
Yeah. then it really hit me. It was actually a conversation I had with my husband. And I was like, I just felt so bad. He was homeless. And that's always been like a soft spot for me. And he's like, Jennifer, that's not your apartment. You don't have the authority to do that. And it was kind of that aha moment. So I called you the next day. And I'm like, Jake, I've done something really bad. And you were really cool about it. You're like, yeah, so don't ever do that again. But let's let him stay in the apartment too. Let's make sure that his kids have food. You know, we took care of people. But so, yeah, that was my biggest mistake. Just, you know, trying to do the right thing for the person, but not thinking about the company and the liability that that could create. So that still to this day is
because on the flip side, I mean, it's great that we help someone out, but if they turn out to be an immoral person, then they can try to squat and then it takes 60 days to get them out or whatever. So it becomes like this whole other thing. So, but, yeah. Wow, I do slightly remember that one. What project are you excited about right now?
Oh my gosh. I'm excited about so many projects. Okay. So we have the ADP, which I think for people in the business world and everything who knows that having a good solid background in software and systems really changes your life. I'm so excited about that. It's going to have a whole new onboarding suite. We're going to have a company.
This is not basic ADP, by the way. We've had basic ADP for many years. This is the elevated version, and please dive into it. Just make everyone clear. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the Cadillac of ADP from what I understand. We're going to be able to provide resources to our employees. They're not coming to me or waiting for me to get back with them on answers on HR related things. They're going to have all this stuff at their fingertips. So that's a project I'm really excited about. We're also meeting, you know, kind of Jake and Gina were talking about this earlier. We're meeting with some business coaches at the end of next week. And it's really nice to just, you know, brainstorm with people and get outside of working in the business for a while and work on the business. What systems do we need? What advice do you need to give us to scale? Where are we lacking? What are we doing good at? I'm so excited about that project. I don't even know what's going to come of it. I just know it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a good one. Yeah, the ADP is interesting because it's actually HRIS software. We're going to have a landing page for employees for each one of the companies. So they're going to be able to go on, see our company videos, see our company heritage. I think it's going to be a great recruitment tool. All the onboarding data will be saved electronically. So that'll be in the cloud and a lot of cool stuff there. And then the scaling up is going to be phenomenal. I think it's going to help us pull through a lot of these projects. And they're going to, you know, be looking at us, you know, through a microscope to make sure that we're pulling through all the things that we say we're going to be doing. So a lot of good stuff there. What about a book recommendation?
So I am doing Girl Stop Apologizing right now by Rachel Hollis.
Hey.
She is so good. She did Party Girl, which was her her first book. But then she did Girl Wash Your Face before that. I am a huge advocate for women in business and women in general and moms. I'm a new mom. I have a 15-month-old adorable baby boy, and it's hard. There are a lot of pressures, and I only know what I know. I know being a woman, I know being a mom, I know being in business, and I know that trying to do all those at the same time, you can feel like you're being pulled. So having other people, other mentors that have gone through that can give you advice and say, it's okay to have someone come clean your house once every 2 weeks. You're not a bad mom. You're not a bad wife. Man, I just love Rachel. I want to be her best friend.
So number one tip, scale your personal life as well and get the cleaner every 2 weeks. It's going to accelerate your personal life. G-Dad, I know you got something to say about that.
Wow. I just got the cleaner every week now. I just broke down after 40. So I was going every 2 weeks and I'm saying to myself, I'm being Mr. Cheapo here, but, and you know, all the kids pitch in and everything, but it's true though. I mean, like even laundry, I mean, even going to the laundromat and just dropping off my clothes instead of having somebody iron them, it's a big help. I mean, I think, you know, if you can do it, do it. It will really help you out. So I think that's funny that Jennifer mentioned that because that's where we're at right now too.
Yeah. It's a huge relief. Just when you're trying to do so much and scale so much, you'll start to short circuit. And if you don't have focus in on the things that are important, you have your top five things that you're trying to do. I'm trying to work on my family. I'm trying to work on the business. I'm trying to work on my personal health. You know, you prioritize your things and everything else kind of falls to the wayside, and that's okay, but you still need laundry. And you still need to clean the house, and your yard still needs to be mowed every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. So the tip of the day is scale professionally and personally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. G-Dad, what else you got?
Just a couple of things. I think, you know, if anybody likes the podcast, I think, Jake, they should subscribe to their podcast, because I think every week we bring on amazing guests. We keep it real. I mean, we're talking about management, which is the second leg of the framework, right? Which is the wheel, which is in constant motion. And we're not going to tell you out there it's an easy job. It's hard. It's a lot of fun taking deals down. But once you take the deal down, you better have the infrastructure. You better find somebody with the infrastructure to take care of the property, because it's all about raising NOI. And you're not raising NOI unless you're delivering customer service. That's the bottom line. I think everyone needs to hear that. It can be a great job. It can be very rewarding, but at times it can be soul sucking because you're dealing with people's homes. Their residence, and it's their home. They have all their personal stuff in there. So just remember that you're dealing with somebody's personal stuff. They have all their items that they've ever accumulated in their life. So it's a really personal space. We didn't touch on that today. We should have, but I think that's really important. And put yourself in their shoes. That's what I think everyone forgets to do. When, you know, that person doesn't have hot water for a day and a half and they've got to go on a job interview, that's really tough. Put yourself in that situation. How would you feel?
You set yourself up for this one, because last time Gino was at my house, the time before, the hot water heater went out, and I could tell his face just dropped. And
dude, I'm like, Uncle Sean, what do you do with the war, Uncle Sean?
Yeah, I was thinking it was Uncle Sean upstairs, but I was like, you know, you saw a drop in his face, and so, you know, you got to.
Dude, I got to look good for the Jake and Gino community. I just don't take cold showers. I don't wake up in the morning and go, hey, I'm here, bro. I'm looking great. I got to work at it. Unlike Jennifer, I have to work at it. So. Yep. That's the important thing, Jake. And I think, people just want to be heard. I think if you just listen and just shut up and let people talk, that's what the average resident wants. They want to come in and bitch and moan, and let them bitch and moan and let them be heard. I think at the end of the day, if you can teach people and train people to do that, you're going to take your company, I think, to the next level, because that's ultimately, we all want to be heard. And I think one of the biggest things is that we didn't mention, but we should mention it. Customers and tenants, they leave your place not because you're raising the rent. They leave because the customer service stinks, because it took a week to fix the refrigerator or a week to fix the stove. That's, I think, one of the biggest reasons why tenants leave.
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, there are so many times people aren't going to notice, you know, $10, $15, $20 overall, especially thinking about moving costs. But so many times we've started to monitor this, and people do, they leave because we didn't take care of them. And I would even just kind of piggyback on that. They want to be heard, and then they want to see your action after. Because mm-hmm. a part of hearing someone is agreeing in a space that you can, that, hey, I now own this information that you gave me. I have the ability to do something with it.
G-Dad, final word.
Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see y'all in Knoxville, right, Jake?
Here he goes with the yawling again. I don't know, man. He's Banjo Gino now. Jennifer, thank you so much today.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Oh, gosh. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care, everybody.
We trust that you enjoy the Wheelbarrow Profits podcast. Visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. See you next time when Jake and Gino share more of their investing secrets with you.